Hello, world. Welcome to the Resistance. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thank you for being part of the 48%, the Vocal Minority. The revolution will not be televised. I repeat, the revolution will not be televised. It will, however, be podcast, because here in the club, we all fam. Take it away, boys.
Taking it away. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the Resistance, for crying out loud. We are the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. You are part of that Vocal Minority, right, Stephen?
Yes, we're all part of it. And yeah, it's the chance for everyone to get vocal, and we are officially the Resistance. I mean, we're part of a network out there that's I see popping up everywhere, quite frankly. One of our searched terms on TikTok that was sending people to us was the Resistance.
How nice is that, dude? That it's catching on so quickly, like people understand the assignment. That's nice, right?
Yeah, and that they're searching. Like, they're seeking that out, obviously. Like, I want to find the Resistance. So they type it into the search, and we're one of the things that TikTok says. Like, hey, these guys are self-identifying as the Resistance, so go check them
out. Yeah. It's funny, dude. Welcome to the podcast, by the way. I was out of the country for like a week, dude, and I feel like that was in dog years because I felt like I was there for like 2 years, being out of this little bubble. And there was commentary made on what's happening in the States. I was in Mexico, and they were talking about, like, what the hell is going on over there? It's like, I don't know, dude. I have any idea, to be honest with you. I'm just as surprised by it as you are.
Yeah, really. Yeah, we've taken like 2 weeks off here for Thanksgiving. Well, in part, and then Nick had a FEMA-level disaster hit his neck of the woods in the Pacific Northwest. So finally back with electricity, with internet, and yeah, back from the country. And I was going to ask you, like, were the Mexicans thinking we're all insane up here, or are they just worried we're essentially coming after them?
I didn't get any of that. And not that it wasn't there, but they weren't sharing it with me if that's how they felt, but they were just more like, what the hell are you guys doing? Like, you have it so good, and why, I mean, you've had it so good for so long. Like, even when it's like George W. Bush Republican, like, you still have it so good. Like, what the F are you guys doing?
Yeah, that seems to be the common international sentiment of just, what in the hell are you people doing? And yeah. The only, I guess, small grain of hope that has made me feel better these last few weeks is we really have gone from this electoral landslide and a mandate down to an even slimmer margin than we realized. I know the electoral count hasn't changed, but Trump is officially under 50% on the popular vote. So yeah. We're 48-something percent, and he's at 49-something percent. So, yeah, you won. It's not this landslide mandate. It's really a pretty freaking narrow margin. It all tips slightly his way, but it is not some huge blowout.
Yeah, see, I was talking to my brother, and he was, like, talking about, like, he won, you know, on such a landslide, you know, across the board. I was like, no, I mean, he got the Electoral College, but he didn't win with a landslide, popular vote. And, in fact, at that time, they were, like, they were still counting some of the votes, and they were like, I don't think that he actually did win the popular vote. So, it is such a tiny margin that, you know, but you're not allowed to say that anymore. It gives me a little bit more hope in humanity, but not a lot.
Yeah. Listen, he did win the popular vote, but not by 50% or more.
Right.
So in other words, the majority of the country voted for somebody besides Donald Trump. And that does give me some solace, because in the weeks after the election, there was all this talk about, are the Democrats just out in right field? Do we need to redo the entire party? Is everything we're doing wrong? Like, no, we lost the popular vote by about 1%, and the Electoral College in those swing states, we lost by a percent or two. And, you know, it tipped his way. But, you know, Reagan won an electoral landslide, like 500 something electoral votes. And yeah, that's just not the reality for Trump. And I don't think the Democrats should be saying that we just need to blow everything up because we lost by a percentage or so overall. Like, you know, we are still in the minority. Yes, we are the vocal minority, all of us in that 48%. But let's not overreact here that we just need to redo everything, that liberalism is dead.
We need to take a breath, dude. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely not dead. Did we do some things wrong? Sure. Happens with every election cycle that you can look back and say, oh, we should have done this, should have done that. And we don't even know if it would have helped. So this is the way that the chips fell on the table. And now we just got to deal with it. We're still seeing a ton of crazy shit coming out. And what are we, a couple two weeks or more from him even being sworn in? 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, he's sworn in January 20th, so that's six, 7 weeks out. It's a month since the election.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's been a lot of, you know, analysis going on. I was talking to a smart liberal lawyer who I recently met and asking him, why do you think we lost? And he started, policy this and policy that. And I just smiled. It was like, that's adorable. Do you think policy is why we lost? It's got nothing to do with it. Policy is based on facts. And that didn't matter anything in this election. I more so, I know I said this a few weeks ago, but more than ever, this country, rural America, is not ready to elect a woman. It costs 2 percentage points everywhere in every and every swing state and the popular vote and everything. And that 2% is what made the difference. It's what Biden had 4 years ago, and it's what we lost this cycle. So, yeah, I think institutional sexism is why we narrowly lost this. Could we have had a stronger candidate and had a better win? Probably, maybe. But, you know, I mean, we got screwed with the no primary thing and all that. But Kamala was still our best choice. But the fact that she was a woman is what cost us the 2 points, which is what cost us the election.
Yeah, I think it comes down to a little more than that. And I think the policy is involved in it just because some of those people wanted to hear her talk more about policy. Not that they even know what it means or believe it's going to happen, but it's what Trump was doing. He was, you know, talking about certain policies and she wasn't. She was talking about moving forward. And I think that turned some people off. I do.
No. Wrong. Sorry. The undecided voters, you know, this narrow percentage, 5% of us that were still deciding up to election day, it was not about policy. Because first of all, Trump didn't have any policies. He just had these grand ideas of deporting everyone and, you know, cutting taxes and whatnot. He didn't have any actual policies. That undecided margin came down to feelings. And they were feeling scared, and they were feeling like they didn't like Kamala, and they felt this, and they felt that. Facts, policy wouldn't have changed anything in that percentage.
Like I said, I don't think that the policies even had to be real and true. I think she needed to talk about them, because the people that I know that were undecided, that voted for Trump, that's all they talked about. So it's all they talked about.
It's all they talked about to make themselves sleep better at night, because they knew damn well who they were voting for 6 months ago. I don't buy it. I don't buy that anyone up to the last minute was like, gee, Trump or Kamala, evil or good, authoritarian or democracy. Like, no, came down to feelings.
I don't think that it was Trump or Kamala. I think it was Trump or don't vote. So, I mean, it was still a choice, right? But you're right. I don't think it was between Trump and Kamala. It was between Trump or I just don't vote.
Yeah. I mean, that could be. I just somehow doubt any of those people in the last 5 days heard some policy from Trump where they're like, okay, now I'm voting for him. That's the policy I needed to hear. Or I heard a policy from Kamala I don't like, so I'm not voting for her. Like 45 on each side knew exactly who they were voting for. Probably 48 on each side knew exactly who they were voting for.
And as we continue to see the, pardon my French, fuck around and find out side of TikTok and side of social media, it is a really kind of fun to watch. Like, oh, you're getting what you voted for. You're getting chaos. You're getting a circus. That's exactly what you voted for. We'll talk about a little bit more about that once we get into the news. But Steve, I think that there is a big part of the vocal minority who wants to start getting vocal. We got a phone call that I wanted to play on the air for you. From a couple that it's a husband and wife that listens to the program. And just like you said, people are searching the resistance and finding the vocal minority. I think they're kind of all over that train of thought.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah, we should remind people, find out all our social media stuff, YouTube, TikTok, and Reddit. Those are our faves. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Threads. We are officially not on fucking Twitter anymore. Deactivated the account. I not only did I deactivate the Vocal Minority account, I deactivated my personal account, and then I deleted the app off my phone. Twitter is just gone in our world now.
Yes, we want nothing to do with Elon Musk.
Right. Okay. But we do have a comment line, which is what you've got going.
Yeah, 844-48-VOCAL. We continue to make leaps and bounds on Blue Sky. If you haven't made an effort here to jump on Blue Sky yet, it is kind of the new platform that is stuffing it to Elon Musk. And aside from just stuffing it to him, I mean, it seems to be a good platform. Like, things work how they're supposed to over there.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't have that on top of my mind right now. That yes, we're on Blue Sky. Blue Sky is what Twitter used to be. It is new and fresh. People are following each other and following back. We've had major Democratic and progressive groups follow our account. And, you know, there's a lot of good vibes and harmony going on over there. So we're just, I think we just actually hit 1,000 followers on there, which is a record pace. For any nice. Of these platforms that don't push your content like a TikTok or YouTube does. So, yeah, Blue Sky is great. So I encourage everyone to join that app. Certainly find us, but follow everyone out there. All the good people left Twitter and are now on Blue Sky.
Yes, and we will follow them, and we encourage you to do the same. Let's hear this phone call that we received here just this past week.
Hey, champions. This is Linda and my husband, John, from Zumbrota, Minnesota. I was just doing a podcast search just for all kinds of just different things, and I ran across you guys. And now my husband and I tune in at the end of each week and listen to the podcast. And in the last podcast, Steve and Nick were talking about being just disillusioned with X. And where to go to put their platform, because there's their material, because Reddit would not allow political stuff. Well, I don't know if you can do this on Facebook, but you could try on Facebook or Blue Sky. So those are some suggestions. Good luck. Love you guys. Just keep it going. Just keep up the good work. I know there's a lot of discouragement, but guess what? There's encouragement from here.
No, you got to love the encouragement, dude. It's nice to hear the encouragement once in a while.
It really is. I will tell you, when we first got that voicemail, it literally brought a tear to my eye. Because I have been feeling beat up by this whole process. I have literally spent hours in therapy this past, you know, 5 weeks here or whatever, talking about this, that I feel the weight of the world on my shoulders. I feel like we have to fight back. We have to stick up for minorities, gay people, transgender people. And I wonder, are we doing any good? Is anyone out there listening? You know, I know we get comments on the social media stuff, and that's fun, but to get somebody to pick up a freaking phone in this day and age and call and leave a voicemail like that for us, it really meant a lot. And for her to really say at the end there, like, don't be discouraged, like, don't give up, like that, that was a godsend. So that was great to hear.
Yeah, I think, and it's a lot how a lot of people are feeling. This is what I have noticed, that people, like we were talking about just a little bit earlier, have needed to take a beat and take a breath. I've talked to a lot of people that I know are involved in the news and involved in politics and keeping up with the cycle, yeah, that have said, like, I'm taking a little breather just for their mental health. And I want to emphasize that I did that. And even doing this show, I mean, I kind of keep up with stuff, but I have pulled back for a time, but you have to remind yourself that you've got to jump back in, because we cannot become complacent about what's going on and watch it all unfold and be just viewers in the audience. We need to participate for sure.
I think it's been part of my issue is I didn't pull back. You know, I mean, I just rolled right from election night back into this. And part of it is because I've seen people in my life, you know, my daughter being probably one of the top on my list of just being hurt and crushed by this. I haven't told you this yet, Nick, but I was talking to my good buddy Emily back in Michigan. She's a teacher. She teaches special ed. And if the Department of Education goes away, the first thing, the number one thing that schools will lose funding for is special education. So not only is she worried about her own job, but she is just beat up by everything she's seeing from gay rights, gender, you know, all of this stuff. She is literally applying for jobs outside of the country. I mean, yeah, that is how beat up she is. And I've heard this from so many people. So, yeah, it was hard to take a breath. And I really didn't. I'm seeing people come back into the cycle. You know, David Pakman, the day or two after the election, was talking about hemorrhaging subscribers. And a lot of people were trying to beat up the liberals of like, oh, you're all abandoned ship. And Pakman was on Piers Morgan, and Morgan tried to call him out. You said you're losing subscribers. And Pacman said, you know, that's right. For the first week I was. Now we've gained them back and we're gaining even more because people are now getting reinvigorated. They want to be part of the resistance. They want to be part of the accountability. So it's part of what we're here for. And it's great to hear from someone like that in middle of nowhere, Minnesota, that has sought us out, is feeling motivated by what we're doing and took time to call us. That's great.
Yeah. No, we appreciate it. You can leave your own comment. 844-48-VOCAL. That's available anytime, all the time. Let's jump into a little news. Shall we do it?
Yep.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Steve Harness.
Yes, indeed. All right, I think we got to start off with the big thing that the world is talking about, but liberals seem a little divided on, and what's the right answer? But
your penis?
Start off with the no, the jury's not out on that. That's a home run hit. I think we all agree. Okay.
I just heard the big thing, and I thought, oh, maybe he's talking about his penis. I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. So let's start off with the comedic side to it, and then I'll get to our actual thoughts on things here. So Marjorie Taylor Greene wants a blanket pardon, and everyone's asking the same question. Old Hobbit feet Marjorie Taylor Greene, the idiot from Georgia, seems to want a, quote, blanket pardon. And her critics are all asking the same question. Why would that be? Greene was among many critical of President Joe Biden for pardoning his son, Hunter Biden. The conspiracy theorist lawmaker yesterday said the Democrats are now playing the pardon game so that she says we should do the same thing. Can we just get a blanket pardon for all of us? But keep in mind, Greene was reportedly one of at least five lawmakers who sought pardons from Trump when he left office in 2021. She's saying that's all gossip and lies, but, you know, I would never ask for a pardon because I haven't done anything illegal. So why would somebody ask for a blanket pardon for all of us, especially when your team's about to take over?
Great question. Great question.
There's no great answer, but obviously a guilty conscience is speaking loud and clear right there. So that's fun.
Yeah, that's, look, what can the imagination think about here? She's had to do some illegal shit. She's just crazy enough that we listen to her talk about nutso things all the time. So you think what we don't hear, maybe she's done some illegal stuff. And yeah, it'd be nice to just have a blanket pardon. But just this all pisses me off with Joe Biden pardoning Hunter. Mm. Like, does it piss you off? I mean, are you upset about the pearl clutching? Like, oh, he said he wasn't going to do it and he did it.
Yeah, I have a variety of opinions on the topic, but I mean, here's my succinct answer, I guess. I'm disappointed that Biden did that. I am going to denounce it. I'm not going to give up the moral high ground on this pardon game the presidents are playing. I don't think he should have done it at all. Hunter, was he unfairly sought out? Probably. But we have a legal system with accountability. You know, you got a judge, you got a jury, you got lawyers, there's an appeals process. Everything we've been saying to the Trump team for the last, you know, year or two with his thing. So, no, I don't think Biden should have done it. And I'm not happy about it. But only the 48% of us that voted blue in this election get to say a goddamn word about it. The rest of you can shut the hell up because, A, you're being major hypocrites, given that Trump has pardoned friends, family members, political cronies. He would pardon himself and his kids in the drop of a hat. But more so, this is what you people all just voted for, emboldening a president. No accountability, no guardrails, do what you want with the White House. And I asked everyone a few weeks ago, what's going to happen when a Democrat president realizes they could do what the hell they want to do? And now you have the answer. Biden decided, you know what? Screw all of you. I'm just going to pardon my son. You know, vote around and find out. This is what we've emboldened. Presidents, they could do what they want. So I denounce it, but it's what everyone has given presidents the power to do.
I do not denounce it, all right? And because I'm putting myself in the position, all right? So Biden, I don't think, had intention of pardoning his son. Mm-hmm. I think that it all kind of fell into place, obviously, when he looks at all the pardons that Trump has done. So irresponsible. responsibly, like you've said, it lowers the severity of it a little bit in your mind. But then when Trump's FBI pick, Kash Patel, came in and said that he is going to go after a certain group of people, and Hunter was on that list, he was like, all right, Trump's going to put these crazy fuckers in there that are going to go after people, and this is somebody that I love. I am out. In fact, I'm almost dead. So you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah, I understand that sentiment, and I've heard a few of us libs say that. That, you know, yeah, Trump's people are saying they're going to go after Hunter Biden and a bunch of others. So what I would have done if I was Biden is I would have said, I'm going to give because he gave a blanket pardon. He did not just pardon him for this gun offense and the tax evasion. He gave him a blanket pardon for a window of time. So if he wanted to retain the moral high ground, he should have said, I give him a blanket pardon for this window of time, with the exception of the tax evasion and the gun violation. He was found guilty in the criminal justice system, so he's going to have to pay the price for that. But if you think you're coming after my son for some cooked up, you know, other charges, no way. Blanket immunity for everything else.
Yeah, I don't know that that would have made any difference to the Republican Party. And maybe it would have made a difference to some of us Democrats that said, oh, yeah, even when he's not doing the right thing, he's doing the right thing. But I don't think it would have made any difference to the other side. And at this point in time, do we care? I mean, like we said, we're playing a different game now. So, you know, we need to get on the same page on some level.
No, I don't think it would have made a difference to them, but we need to retain the moral high ground. Biden is done. He's gone. Over the next 4 years, over the next 40 years, we need to be able to say that, no, we're not in favor of these kinds of pardons. So if we let Biden off the hook, and that the justice system is corrupt and unfairly prosecuting people, we're just opening it wide for us to never be able to criticize Trump. So the other thing that Biden should have done, and hopefully will still do, is instead of saying, I'm afraid Trump's people are coming after Hunter Biden, so I'm going to give him blanket immunity, he should have said, I'm afraid Trump's cronies are coming after a laundry list of people that have worked for me. So I get blanket immunity to Hunter Biden, to Jack Smith, to Robert Mueller, to Christopher Wray, to Merrick Garland. Like, just no way, you're not coming after anyone in my circle. Everyone gets blanket immunity. When you only do it for your son, then of course it reeks of nepotism and favoritism. And his dad's the president. He's going to be fine.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I don't know that he'll be fine because his dad's not the president in a month, you know.
Now he's got the immunity and he'll be making good money for the rest of his life. I mean, he'll be fine.
He's fine. But, you know, this is everything has changed, though, Steve. That's what you're leaving out. Like, everything has changed. If the rules only change on that side and we continue to play by the rules of the moral high ground, I understand the sentiment of it. But the game's not fair anymore. It's not a fair game.
Yeah, no. And on one level, we've been admonishing Democrats that they're not playing by the rules. Why are we? I just think he could have done it in a more intelligent way. They could have both not played by the rules and still retained some level of the moral high ground.
Fair.
Just giving him a blanket pardon, including the stuff he was convicted of, and walking away from everyone else. And there's still time. Maybe he will. I've heard several people. John Dean, the old Nixon prosecutor, he came out today and said the same thing. Like, if you're going to issue pardons because you're worried that we're going to be unfairly sought out, then start issuing pardons for all of these people, not just your kid.
Yeah, I think that would just make us look even dirtier. But, who knows? Who knows? It's all so confusing.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I'm not losing sleep over it because I don't give a crap if the MAGA types are upset. Because, again, this is what you have asked for. And, yeah, we posed the question, what's going to happen when a Democrat starts to run roughshod over all of you and doing what they want to do? Are you going to be okay with it? And we've just gotten the answer. No, they're not okay with it when the blue side does it, but they're more than fine when their team does it. They voted a man back into office who had already done all this crap. So don't do your pearl clutching with us. Us 48, we can be pissed off. We can admonish Biden or choose to give him a pass. But no, you fuckers don't.
Yeah, you have no ground to stand on. So,
and of course, Trump would pardon his kids. And of course, he would pardon himself. And, you know, he pardoned his father-in-law. So what's the logic? You can pardon a father-in-law, but not a father, a stepson, but not a son. Like, if it's your family, are you having Thanksgiving together? You shouldn't be pardoning each other then, okay?
John Stewart did a great bit. You know, he was like, you know why Hunter was pardoned? He was like, you know, I'm going to play the part of Hunter Biden at Thanksgiving dinner. You know, do you think he was giving his dads any looks like, Dad, this turkey is very good. This one wasn't pardoned, huh? And he did this great bit about like, yeah, Thanksgiving was probably a little uncomfortable. And Joe Biden decided to pardon him just after Thanksgiving. So,
yeah. I guess I would like to see Joe just go wild. If you're going to do this, like, just keep going then. As we said, like, it'd be hilarious if he just resigned and made Kamala the 47th president. Or, yeah, he starts issuing pardons for everyone. He just solidifies things and whatever he can possibly do. Then go ahead and do it if this is the game we're playing. Just don't stop at your son because it's going to look terrible in hindsight.
Sure. Yeah. No, I get it.
Need to know news you need to know.
Hey, dude, one of the things I'm worried about when I think about, like, well, Hunter Biden's a great example as we go into the next news story here. And Jeffrey Epstein, a great example. Like, some of these people, you say, like, oh, they're going to be fine, but are they going to be murdered? I mean, we are now in a day and age where we're seeing people murdered left and right for, you know, because they want to them silenced. They don't want them to testify. They don't want them to do this. Did you hear the news story of the United Healthcare CEO who was killed in New York this morning?
I did. It appears to be a targeted execution at point blank range. I will say, though, why is everyone pissed at him?
Well, that's what we need to get to the bottom of. Here is a bit of reporting on what happened if you are unfamiliar with the story of Brian Thompson.
Even for New York City, this is a brazen murder that happened in broad daylight. Just before 7 o'clock this morning, police are telling us that Brian Thompson, who is the CEO of the health insurance wing of United Healthcare, was walking up to the Hilton. It's 6th Avenue between 53rd and 54th.
Very close to Radio City, very close to the Christmas tree that everyone comes to see at tourist
destination. That lighting is tonight, too, so you know there's more security in the area. This CEO was walking up. There was an investors conference there in the Hilton. He was not staying there, but he was just walking up there. A witness tells our affiliate WABC here in New York City that they saw a man dressed in all black with a black ski mask on, waiting outside the Hilton, fired a gun several times, hit this 50-year-old man, Brian Thompson, in the chest, and he was rushed to the hospital, later died at the hospital. Police are telling us this looks to be a targeted attack.
Of course it's a targeted attack. The guy that was standing all in black in the black ski mask, oddly enough, was sitting out in front of the Hilton for 10 minutes waiting for him to show up. Like, I don't think this was a real professional assassination. So what I'm thinking here is that maybe this was someone that was pissed off from maybe their parent died and they didn't get coverage. They didn't get the coverage they needed out of United Healthcare, whatever. But there is a reason that this guy was targeted, right?
One would assume. And by the way, this is the problem with the post-COVID era. Somebody standing on the street wearing a mask nowadays, that used to be a giant red flag. And now it's somewhat accepted as like, oh, he must be a COVID freak still. He's worried about it.
Well, in all fairness, this was a ski mask. So it's a little bit different than an N94. But you're right. I mean, it's become so much more acceptable, even with a ski mask, to walk into a retailer, right? Where that would have never been okay before. So.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, obviously, we got to figure out what's really going on here. Was it some sort of personal thing like that? Grandma was denied coverage and died or something? Or is this an anti-union thing, an anti-big health care thing? Is this a pissed off mega? Is it a pissed off liberal? Like,
right.
But your overall point of increase in public violence and attempted assassinations, I mean, we already saw it during the election of two, debatably three assassination attempts on Trump. And I think there's always an assumption that it's the liberals that are going to get assassinated. I think the temperature is so high in this country right now that nobody is safe and everyone should be worried about random acts of violence, especially heading into the next 4 years as we turn up discriminations and deportations and everything else. So, yeah, it's a big worry.
100% agree with you. And you have to start thinking about, when is the DOJ, when is the FBI going to get on board with, not necessarily in this case, but with Epstein's a great example. Like, obviously he was in prison, but, you know, that had to be an inside job on some level. Yes. The more and more I'm watching these shows, there's a brand new show on Paramount Plus called The Agency. Okay, it's about all this type of shit, handling stuff like that. Like, we got to kill this guy, we got to do that. It shows such a realistic side of what happens in this country that you and I have no idea about the things that happen in this country. And as we see a little light shed on some of the, you know, people being murdered, it's very eye-opening.
Yeah, which makes me even more nervous as the Trumpers start to take over the government, because if that kind of stuff is going on and masquerading underneath some of these other public shootings and whatnot, then, yeah, that's not going to go in a very good direction, to say the least. I mean, the Epstein thing had to have been an inside job to get access to him in prison in a locked cell. This thing on the street, it could have just been some random one-off pissed-off person. It could have been a mafia thing. It, you know, I mean, I hesitate to get into this government conspiracy stuff.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's straight up conspiracy theory stuff, and it's easy to dismiss too many things. When we posted the video a couple of weeks ago about those neo-Nazis marching in Ohio, Saturday afternoon, broad daylight, screaming racist things, intimidating people.
Yeah.
The number one mega response to that in the comment section was, those are feds. Those are Biden's feds that he sent out into the streets to try to make Trumpers look bad, to try to disrupt everything. Like, those aren't real Nazis. It's the Democrat feds going out there. As soon as you go down that rabbit hole, then you can't have a discussion about any of this, because then none of it's tangible, none of it's real. There are no bad guys. Everything's a conspiracy.
Say that to my brother all the time, dude, that you're 100% right that when you start going down all these rabbit holes, nothing's real anymore. And that is inherently dangerous for you and your mind and the people that your family, everyone around you. That is really super dangerous. So to hold on to a bit of reality, and, you know, it's okay to question things, it's okay to investigate things, but to believe things and spread things without factual data is more now dangerous than it I believe it ever has been.
Yeah, you can't make that your first assumption. I saw a comedian, you know, TikTok or whatever. He made a great joke about that. If you believe in every conspiracy theory, you're a moron. But if you don't believe in any conspiracy theory, you're gullible. Right. In other words, yeah, the government does do some shady things. Of course, there have been conspiracies, but not everything is. And as with most government conspiracies, I never can accept the fact that it never leaks. No one ever rats on the other. So you're telling me five feds on the federal payroll were sent to the small town in Ohio to disrupt things, and there's no paper trail. No one's outing this. There's no, like, come on. You know, I don't buy that. And why would they even risk the whole program by just marching Nazis down the street in Columbus for 2 hours on a Saturday, as opposed to, like, assassinating Kennedy or something that actually has gravity and an impact? Like,
if we would have seen this, you know, it would be more believable if we saw this spread from city to city around the way, around the country. Right. But yeah, just a mundane Wednesday, an idle Wednesday afternoon, and this happens. I mean, it made news, but it wasn't bombshell news, which is sad.
Right. It's kind of like the voter conspiracy theories that the left has been pushing since the election. Like, that cannot be your first assumption that there was fraud. If you've got evidence, I'm all for hearing it. I'm all for going down that rabbit hole then. But if your knee-jerk reaction is just, it's all fake, it's all fraudulent, it's all conspiracy, then we're just not grounded in reality, and I don't even know how to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, there's no way to have a conversation because, like you said, nothing is real. So, yeah.
So I'm curious to see what happens with the story. I mean, certainly a brazen assassination in broad daylight. I like how that news, like, it's right near the Christmas tree.
Yeah, I think, and the reason I thought, oh, I'm going to leave that in there, is because it is odd that there was heightened security around the area, and yet still, here's a man standing in all black, ski mask, everything else, just waiting to kill a man.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been captured yet, as far as recording day here, so we'll see what happens, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was a cold day in New York City. You can have a ski mask on, but that's the problem with assassinations. If you're willing to die yourself, there's almost nobody that's safe from being assassinated. Because right. if you can get up close enough, and if you're willing to be shot or whatever, then yeah, you can take anyone down. But, you know, I would assume that guy slipped into the crowd, took off the ski mask, and now he's just blending into the masses. So, yeah, let's see what happens with the investigation.
We shall see. We'll keep you abreast of the rest of the story.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on.
News. Hi, Stephen. This is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
Hello, Clem. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, that was nice. You're starting to befriend him. I love that.
Although, isn't he British or Australian? I guess they don't have Thanksgiving there. Sorry.
Everyone has Thanksgiving. What are you talking about? It's America.
Oh, okay. What a myopic thing for me to say. Everyone's American. Everyone's open.
Yeah.
So. All right. So the news cycle on Trump's cabinet nominees has just been fast and freaking furious. And, you know, a lot of heads are spinning. And we're going to do the story right now. This thing could be outdated 5 minutes from now. But here's where we're at. And I find some of this just to be hilarious in the overt hypocrisy. Okay. So we have seen people like Matt Gaetz and this Hegseth guy, you know, get nominated, despite the fact that there are credible allegations of sexual assault, drug use, alcoholism. Hegseth's own mother wrote an email that the guy's a repeat sexual offender. Fox News has said they worried about his over drinking. He's been thrown out of political events for being drunk and for harassing women. But does that seem to matter to any MAGA type out there?
No, dude. And let me just throw this in while you're talking about Pete Hegseth, because he was on the side of those J.D. Vance. This doesn't seem to matter to MAGA either.
It's typical Trump. All bluster, very little substance. He talks a tough game. But then when pressed on it, he's an armchair tough guy. I hate to say it. But this is a guy who said that John McCain is not a war hero, yet he sought his own 5 military deferments.
So he wasn't even a fan of Trump. But yes, now he has kissed the ring, so all is well in the world.
Which is so common and crazy. Like you said, J.D. Vance calling Trump Hitler, and Hegseth was, you know, ridiculing Trump there. And they all seem to come around when it benefits them and they need to kiss the ring and they see an opportunity for self-advancement. One of my favorite hypocrites on this planet, Mr. Ted Cruz, he was admonishing Morning Joe for going down to Mar-a-Lago and kissing the ring. And we all admonish Morning Joe, too, but we're not hypocrites, right?
Right.
Do we all recall that Trump went off on Ted Cruz, accused his father of being part of the JFK assassination, ridiculed Ted Cruz's wife, and Ted Cruz said that Trump was a narcissist and a liar and should never be elected into office. And then he came around, sucked up, kissed the ring, and Ted Cruz has the nerve to ridicule Morning Joe for doing the same thing.
Trump called Ted Cruz's wife like a fat, ugly pig and stuff. And yeah, Ted Cruz is just back around. No worries.
Just no personal or self-awareness with these people. Or they just think we don't have any memory or there's no video that exists from, you know, 10 years ago. So, yeah, you know, some of these minis are absolutely crazy. And I've got 2 points to make here. One, I find it hilarious that somebody like Matt Gaetz, okay, he came out and all the MAGA types defended him up and down. We don't care about sexual assault allegations, trafficking minors for sex across state lines, doing blow with them. We defend. He's perfect. It's not a big deal. And then Matt Gaetz even realizes he's in over his head. He's not going to probably get nominated. So he withdraws. He couldn't even defend himself.
No.
Which then leaves all of these MAGA types to standing there holding the bag. Like, we've been defending you vehemently for a couple of weeks, and now you pull yourself out? You know how dumb that makes them look?
Oh, yes, 100%, which is, I think, why Pete Hegseth hasn't pulled himself out yet, is because he's going to make them look dumb, too, because they've all been defending him.
Yes. So Pete Hegseth has been up on Capitol Hill making the rounds, trying to rally support. He's been telling reporters, you know, denying everything. One of the Trump campaign people came out a day or two ago and said that there is, quote, no reason to not vote for, you know, Pete Hegseth. Like, no reason. He's fine. Allegations, false, means nothing. Well, now it comes out today in the news cycle that President-elect Donald Trump is considering replacing Fox News host Pete Hegseth with who? Ron DeSantis to be the head of the DOD. So we'll see if this actually comes to fruition. But the fact that the New York Times is even reporting on the fact that they're talking about replacing Hegseth just tells you again, they even realize they can't defend the guy, but they're leaving all these MAGA types out to dry. You keep defending him. We're about to secretly pull him off that list. And you're all going to, again, look like fools because none of you can say that the sky is blue.
Will they get tired of it is the question, because, I mean, his replacement thought is, as far as I know, Ron DeSanctimonious. Like, you know, he's hated this guy, too. So now when Ron gets in there and MAGA says, oh, he's great, we don't care anything, are they going to get tired of it is my question.
I don't think so. Because the cult people out there, they will defend Trump vehemently up and down. They don't see the light of day. And then, yes, the MAGA world's making them look dumb by pulling some of these people back. But just to put even more of a spotlight on their hypocrisy, there's a news story that's come out today that it's not getting a lot of attention. I just find it hilarious in the overt hypocrisy of the right. The Trump nominee for DEA drops out after right-wing outrage. Huh? Sheriff Chad Cronister, President Donald Trump's elect, he was picked to be the head of the DEA. He has withdrawn himself from consideration after right-wing outrage over what, you ask? Did he sexually assault someone? Is he a drug addict? Is he a raging alcoholic? No. He defended COVID lockdowns and defended COVID, all of the COVID restrictions that were put in place. When this guy was sheriff, he was enforcing them in his little town. He actually arrested a pastor for refusing to not hold public services. So because this guy stood up for science and government mandates when it comes to COVID restrictions, that is a bridge too far for MAGA.
He's also on top of that, on video, promoting a pride parade in his community and saying that, you know, love and equality is something we should all strive for. And you're right, the right-wing MAGA crowd despises that.
Yes. This guy described himself as a centrist. And the MAGA color, they don't want a centrist. They need a right-wing conspiracy theory nut job. They'll defend sexual assault, drug use, alcoholism, having sex with minors. But if you believe in COVID, if you believe in a pride parade should happen, no way, you're out of here.
Yeah, be gone. We want nothing to do with you.
I mean, it really hurts my brain. I thought there was nothing that they would ever denounce a Trump nominee over. But it turns out because this guy just simply went with the science of COVID or the logic that a pride parade is, of course, fine to have happen. Nope. Run that guy out of town on rails. But keep the sexual assault people and the drug addicts and the alcohol. They're fine. But not someone who believes in COVID restrictions. How dare you?
That other stuff is just alleged, Steve. That is just alleged, okay?
Right. Jeez. Oh, my gosh. So,
yeah, that is insane. While we're on topic, do you want to talk about some of these other nominees that are just crazy we're adding to the junk drawer? Are you done?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, listen, I've heard a lot of people say that maybe Trump is playing three-dimensional chess. Maybe he put Matt Gaetz and Hegseth out so that they could take all of the heat, and then we wouldn't notice all of these other people being slipped by us. And no one in MAGA world is smart enough for three-dimensional chess. These are the people they want. But even they are seeing that maybe there is some level of limitations. But yeah, so who else would you like to highlight of the clown car they're sending to D.C.?
Yeah, let's I'll ask for the help of Rachel Maddow on some of this stuff, and then we can talk about some of it. Let's see here.
Trump pardoned a family member and then named him ambassador to France. A man who has no qualifications whatsoever to be America's ambassador to France.
All right. Do you know who she's talking about there?
Yeah, it's Jared Kushner's dad.
Yeah, this is Jared Kushner's dad. And when you were talking about pardons earlier on the program, Trump has pardoned Charles Kushner previously. He went to jail for a bunch of shady shit, tax evasion, campaign finance fraud, stuff like that. Trump pardoned him and is now bringing him into the mix. Why wouldn't he do it? Because, I mean, like Rachel Maddow says, like, maybe he speaks excellent French, you know, who knows? I mean, other than that, that, he has no qualifications for this.
He has none.
No.
It's a classic political appointee kind of thing of go be the ambassador to Uganda or something. Like, I'm just going to give you a job to give you a job, which makes you wonder, what does the Kushners have on Trump? Because he already pardoned the guy and did him a favor. Like, now you're going to highlight him and make him an ambassador for our country? Like,
so he's in the junk drawer.
The Surgeon General, Trump just announced. She is a random doctor from the Fox News channel who has her own celebrity line of vitamins. She has no apparent qualifications for being Surgeon General at all, other than the fact that she's a doctor, and she's the sister-in-law of the guy who he just named to be national security advisor. So sure, obviously, why not?
All right, so there's more favors that he's doing. You think, have you ever heard of the name Nishwat?
That sounds like some obscenity. You just
No, Dr. Nishwat, dude. She's a fierce advocate and strong communicator for preventative medicine and public health. That's why Trump picked her. She just happens to work for Fox News. And yeah, she is the daughter-in-law of Mike Walls, who Trump named for the national security advisor, who has, you know, no redeeming quality for the position either.
This would be much shorter if we ran down the nominees who are qualified in any way possible, because there's none. He's obviously just appointing people that he wants to destroy the things they're being put in charge of.
Dude, it is crazy to me that you're exactly right. It would be a moment of silence if we talked about anyone that was qualified.
Yeah.
The guy he's just named to lead the Navy has zero experience with the U.S. Navy or with literally anything having to do with any part of the United States military. But the guy did hold a $12 million fundraiser for Trump at his multi-million dollar home, which famously features a mirrored floor. So, ha-ha, you can see up people's skirts while they're standing in the living room at the fundraiser. You think I'm kidding? Look it up.
Yeah, you can look it up because...
Look it up. No pun intended.
No pun intended. I didn't even catch that. Yeah, another person who has nothing to do with military, never served. Like, this is... It's why would you do that, dude? These are very important, important positions. And this is a... It's got to be a joke, right?
Well, you just asked the question, why would you do that? It's definitely not a joke, haha. He is trying to dismantle government. He is trying to blow these things up. It's why he's putting unserious people in serious jobs, because he knows they will do serious damage.
Yeah. And we all, the resistance, the vocal minority, just have to kind of stand by and watch it all implode. We saw the fuse lit. Now we just get to watch the fireworks show we don't want to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a four-year shit show. I'm curious to see who of these people actually get in there. I would assume the answer is 99% of them will, because Mega World is complicit and will just nominate whoever he puts out there. And the old fuck around and find out, right? Or vote around and find out.
Yeah, that's a nicer way of saying it. That's a classier way of saying it, Steve.
Yeah. Stay classy.
So, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with all of that. Can we talk about Justin Trudeau making a trip down to Mar-a-Lago?
Sure.
Yeah, did you know that he went down?
I did know, yeah. And his concerns are valid. You know, I know tariffs get paid by us, but it's going to disrupt the economy on both sides of the border. So, no, of course, Canada does not want tariffs put on them. They know it's going to cause everything to go up. They know it can affect trade in the long run. And they know they've been good trading partners with us. So why would we be penalizing them?
To the tune of $400 billion, I mean, I don't understand why we would be picking on a country like Canada to involve them in this type of thing. But it doesn't stop with just the tariffs that Justin Trudeau went to talk about with President Trump in Mar-a-Lago. I mean, I guess you got to show up and have the conversation. But at this point, are reasonable people understanding that there is no reasonable conversation that can be had with him, right?
No.
I mean, it's kind of a waste of time to go down, right?
One would think, but, you know, Trudeau's the leader of a country. He's got to give it his effort and see if he can talk some sense into him. And he knows Trump's a narcissist, so him going down to Mar-a-Lago, I think he had the best interest of Canada in you know, in his heart. So
for sure. Joy Reid of MSNBC did a little piece on Justin Trudeau going down to Mar-a-Lago, and it doesn't end with just tariff talk.
According to Fox, When Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau went to Mar-a-Lago this weekend to try to talk Trump out of his 25% tariff threat, Trump apparently suggested that if Canada can't handle the tariffs that would violate the NAFTA upgrade Trump himself signed into law, the USMCA, they should just become the 51st state. Just become the 51st state instead and allow Trudeau to be reduced to governor of the state of Canada, which caused the prime minister and others to laugh nervously. And while some are writing that off as just a joke, just a few hours ago, Trump posted this obviously AI photo of him standing on a mountaintop next to the Canadian flag, looking off into the distance with the caption, "Oh, Canada." And for the record, he appears to be looking at the Matterhorn, which is on the border between Switzerland and Italy, not Canada.
I'm glad she pointed that out, because I was going to say that. Like, even in a fake AI picture, these mega morons can't pick the right mountain range. They pick a mountain in Switzerland trying to say it's Canada. But
he doesn't have people to get that shit right, okay? Like, you're talking about, you know, head of the FBI, DOJ, all this stuff. Like, we can't get where he's at in a picture correct, so.
Yeah. Listen, I know Trump makes a lot of jokes, but they're all because they're on the top of his mind. And he thinks he has the upper hand in all of this. I would encourage Trudeau and Mexico and China, like if your employees to say they're going to strike, you can wait them out. Trump is going to implode. He's going to screw our economy up. So Canada, just ride this out. You'll be fine, because it's going to catch up with them. He cannot defy the laws of economics. He just can't.
No. I was talking to my brother, okay, about tariffs and, you know, how this is all going down, and asking him as a Trump voter if, you know, he's on board and happy with all the tariff talk of what's going to be happening. He was like, well, you know, it would be nice for us to be able to have some of that stuff returned to the U.S. And I was like, yeah, that'd be great, dude, if it was affordable. Like, but are you ready to pay for it? Like, no matter if we're just going to be paying higher prices on all this stuff that is tariffed, or it does come back to the U.S., either way, you're going to have to be paying higher prices, which is, I thought, why you voted for him was to pay lower prices on shit.
Right. Cost of groceries and goods and labor, everything's gone up. So that's why we're voting for Trump, because we hate Biden and Kamala. And the, you know, I've heard some mega types admit that, yes, tariffs will make everything cost more, but that'll motivate America to make those products. So I'm willing to pay more if it's to buy an American product. So on one level, I'll give you credit. You're admitting the tariffs will drive prices up on everything, and you're willing to pay it if it's going to be Team America now making this stuff. But you seem to be forgetting the fact that if tariffs go into effect on January 20th and some company decides, you know what, I'm going to build a factory here in America and start making the stuff myself, that will take years to get factories built and up and running and into the supply chain and everything else. So you're willing to just screw our economy for years in the hopes that these companies decide to build all new factories and still, you know, have higher cost of goods and every inflationary practices, just so you can feel better about disrupting the whole system and paying more.
And BT Dubs, dude, I don't know if you're aware of this, but some things currently are made in America. In fact, I would implore you, when you're looking at a shirt or you're looking at a tie or a camping trailer, you can go seek out the stuff that's made in America. There's usually a big old American flag on it, made in the USA. Like, you can find that shit now, but you're not buying it because it's more expensive. We have higher labor costs here. You know, everything costs more. So, yeah, you can buy that stuff now if that's your goal.
Yeah, I mean, never forget that all the mega merchandise is made in China. I mean, China. It's on all of those hats, all of those T-shirts, because, yes, things are cheaper over there, and it makes sense to lower your margins and lower your expenses. And yeah, this notion that somehow if American companies, so if an American company is making the same widget as a Canadian company, if somehow Canada stops making them because we're charging them tariffs, that doesn't lower the cost of production for the American company. And no. I don't know any company that's just going to be like selfless and be like, oh, we lost a competitor. Well, now we're going to charge you Americans less. Like, that's not what capitalism is. So no. It's not going to make an American company charge you any less.
No, you've had the option to do it. You don't want to mess around with China, but you buy stuff from China every single day, and you like it. You like it without admitting it and saying, like, I proudly buy from China. You like those lower prices that you get.
Yeah. And again, you can't just change the supply chains right away. I even saw an interview with Elon Musk from a while back saying that, you know, tariffs can motivate somebody to move a factory to America, but not on day one. You got to tell someone we're going to put tariffs in place in 2 years. So you got 2 years to move your factories here. He even said, literally, you can't do it on day one. But that is, of course, what Trump is proposing to do. And not only do we have the tariffs that can be inflationary, but if we deport all of our farm workers and people building homes and whatnot, you're going to have double-sided inflationary things coming our way, from a lack of labor to increased cost of goods and importing.
I know that a lot of Americans like to think that, you know, yes, we are a powerhouse nation, okay? But you like to look at every other country as weaklings that, you know, they can't find. What can they do? What, you know, they can do a lot. China has already put out a ban of exporting high-tech materials. A lot of which goes into our military applications and our cell phones and our TVs. In fact, there's a list that people have put out that said, you know what, here's a great thing, a list of things to buy yourself before Trump takes office, because they're all going to get much more expensive after he gets in. And cell phones, televisions, electronics, stuff like that is on the list. Yeah. So, yes, China can do stuff back. They're banning those materials already. Yeah. You don't think that F's with us?
Yeah, there are American companies building stuff here in America that they export to other countries. And if they start screwing with those companies, you're again screwing with our economy, our companies, our workers. And this happened last time, by the way. China put tariffs on, I think it was soybean farmers. So we had to subsidize soybean farmers here in America. So again, they tariff us. We're the ones that end up paying so that these soybean farmers aren't going bankrupt. So the money doesn't just come from nowhere. It comes from us, either the consumers or our government trying to offset it.
I think the message is, Steve, like you said just so eloquently, vote around and find out. You're about to all find out. So
indeed. Let me just throw one last story out real quick because I find it hilarious. Speaking of our buddy Elon Musk, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Elon Musk must return $56 billion in a Tesla pay package.
With a B?
Yes.
Ooh, man, what is a pay package, dude?
So Elon Musk's massive 2018 pay package from Tesla, which was worth $56 billion and helped catapult him to the title of richest man in the world, must be rescinded, a Delaware judge reaffirmed Monday. So essentially, this was a package that Tesla voted that he was eligible for, but then the board at Tesla realized, you're not working here anymore. You're spending all your time trying to buy Twitter and working on SpaceX. You're not working for Tesla. So they decided to take that back from him. He sued. He lost one court. Now he's lost another court. And of course, Elon Musk is all over his little stupid site claiming corruption in the judge, corrupt bureaucrats. And she's making political judgments here against me because of my Trump affiliations.
Right.
So, but like we've been saying forever, Elon Musk is a terrible boss. He does not care about his employees. He's hemorrhaging advertisers from Twitter. He's hemorrhaging customers from Tesla, because liberals are the most likely to buy an electric vehicle, but none of us want anything to do with his crap anymore. But he doesn't care because he's one of the richest men in the world. But having to give up $56 billion, that will hurt the man. And a judge has just ruled that, Tesla was correct. You didn't earn it. They voted to take it away from you. You have no right to undo it. So we'll take that $56 billion back, please.
He's made so much of his money on government subsidies, dude, because of all this green work that he does, that he's counted on that. And, he's a guy that is so two-faced. It's nice to see that taken away.
Yeah. And he's working for any of those companies even less now that he's the first lady, spending all his time with Trump at, you know, martial arts and MMA things and Thanksgiving dinners and plane rides eating McDonald's. Like, he is on Twitter all day long. I don't know what work that man does get done, But now, even though he does have these government contracts, Trump's going to give him a government job in charge of reducing spending. He's saying he wants to cut $2 trillion in discretionary spending. You know how much discretionary spending we have in this country?
How much?
$2
trillion. Everything.
The actual number, I think, is like $1.7 trillion or something. So he's talking about just cutting it all in discretionary funding. And like that's not going to cause chaos. So vote around and find out.
He made the comment like, you know what? People need to be ready for this because it's going to hurt for a little while. Like, people are going to be really uncomfortable for a little while. But then, in the long run, things are going to start to get better. There is a great quote that says, a well-run society has old men planting trees for the shade which they will never sit in, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is a great way to think about a well-run society. Elon Musk is not that man, okay? He is not going to provide any shade that he will not be take advantage of in this world. He's a selfish prick, dude. We've seen that.
Yep. No, I know they're hoping to shake the snow globe up and it all settle down and somehow magically work out. But, you know, he'll be sleeping in his mansion tonight with or without that $56 billion and with or without the $2 trillion in discretionary funding he's talking about cutting. You know, he used the term taking a haircut, which is a very business term. You know, that means we're going to have to, it's going to hurt a little because we're going to have to cut, you know, spending or raises or bonuses or whatever.
Sure.
The American people will feel that haircut infinitely. He won't. It's why he doesn't care about Tesla, Twitter, hemorrhaging advertisers, hemorrhaging customers, because he's going home to his golden palace no matter what.
Your haircut that you're talking about is people's food, is people's healthcare services, is all these programs you want to cut. Mm-hmm. It's not a haircut, dude. That's very disrespectful.
And I keep hearing conservatives like, oh, he's not really going to deport all these people. He's not really going to cut special education funding. Like, no, come on. He's not really going to do that. Well, vote around and find out. Just stay tuned and you tell me when special ed gets cut, when Social Security benefits, unemployment benefits, farm subsidies, all of this discretionary spending that goes into real communities that you don't think has an effect, you're going to see it when it goes away and you're not going to be happy about your haircut and you're not going to be willing to wait 10, 20 years for hopefully this all to somehow balance out someday.
That's right. Join the resistance, for crying out loud. You can do that just by listening to this podcast and then taking a little action, becoming part of the Vocal Minority. This is the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, and we have all kinds of ways that you can join in the fun.
Indeed. TikTok, YouTube, Reddit. Those are our faves in the social media world. So find our stuff, comment, like, share, all that stuff. We're on all the other social medias except that Twitter X thing that's dead to us. And we have a comment line as well.
Yes, call us anytime at 844-48-VOCAL. This is the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. A couple of podcasts each and every week, like she'll tell you now.
Hello, my many champions. It's your favorite old bag, Betty White. This has been a production of the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. New podcasts are released twice a week. Don't forget to watch The Golden Girls wherever great TV is watched.